Psalm 127. It is a psalm that in our brokenness and in the despair and just thinking, will we ever learn the language and will we ever learn the culture in time? Is there anyone else who follows Jesus in this city? Is God building his kingdom, his church in dark places where it's not obvious? It's a time we've a song that we've turned to time and time again. So let's read it together. Psalm 127. A song of ascent of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gates. May God bless his word to us. Now, I don't know for those of you who have been to Morocco, how you found it, but there are many things different about Ireland and Morocco, radically different in day-to-day life and in culture. Obviously, different religion, different way of life, different values, different work culture. But many things and some conversations that I would have with strangers in Ireland and with friends and neighbours here in Ireland don't actually seem too far away from day-to-day what I would have with my friends and neighbours in Casablanca. And perhaps our shared humanity, being humans together in this world, makes us closer than we think. Do you recognise any of these conversations? Prices of everything are just going up and up. I'm not sure how we'll afford the best future for our family, or if we have family. To afford a house, the two of us really have to be working. I should probably sleep more, but between the kids, work and everything else, there's just so much to do. My friend is struggling with mental health. He says his mind can't stop whirring. Or someone else, I'm a pastor and I struggle to sleep at night. There's lots of messy things going on in church right now, and it's on my heart. Today, the psalm, the song that we turn to, speaks in to our hearts and our culture, I think, very much like it did thousands of years ago when it was written. And so we're going to see from this psalm three things. God builds, God watches, and God grows his kingdom. God builds, God watches, and God grows his kingdom. But keep the psalm open with me, and you'll see at the first little bit, the bit that quite often we forget to read at the very top of the psalm, a song of ascents of Solomon. Why does the psalmist include this for us? Well, firstly, the of Solomon bit. I don't know if you're familiar with the scriptures. King Solomon was the king, a very wise king who sought God for wisdom, and God lavished wisdom upon him as the one request that he had made. He was the one that God entrusted with the building of the Jewish temple back in the day. The people had waited and waited and travelled around with temporary tents that God would meet them in, his people in. And then even when King David came, God said, no, you're to wait. It won't be you who builds the temple. And it's King Solomon was the one in his generation got to see the majestic temple that God outlined how to build it and why to build it for his worship, that he would dwell with his people. And that was the day back in the, that was how they did it back in the day. God dwelt with his people. His presence would abide in the Holy of Holies in the temple, and the worship of God would be done there. And so King Solomon, out of anyone in the whole history of God's people of Israel at the time, surely it would be Solomon who would know a bit about building. God was the one who trusted him and his generation to carry out the most important building of the time. God was the one who said that he could go ahead with it, not the generations before. God was the one who saw that come to fruition in his people at the time. And yet this Psalm of Solomon, what are the opening verse there in Psalm number 1? Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain. You see, if anyone was to have confidence in their own ability, surely it would have been Solomon. But no, he is reminded here, God is the builder, no matter how good Solomon or how trustworthy Solomon might have been. And perhaps in our society today, what the housing crisis, hard as it is for many of us, ourselves included, as everyone battles to find accommodation and a place to rest our heads at night, and despite how hard it is, it certainly sent us back to our knees to pray to God and to seek his face in the physical of the building of houses, of the finding of somewhere to lay our heads. For us and for those around us. It's a truth for our time, isn't it? That we could have the best plans laid in place. We could even have the property all set, our mortgage going, everything going well. But we look to the Lord and his kindness and his goodness for all things in life. Whether we follow him or whether we don't, he is the great provider and he uses means to do that. But perhaps it's not physical houses so much, as also the psalmist, no doubt, referring to how we build our lives. Jesus takes physical buildings and turns much of the talk of physical building into a spiritual temple that he is building. He speaks that we are bricks in the temple. And just after the Ephesians 1 passage that we're reading, Ephesians 2 goes on to say that, doesn't it? That Jesus is building, and he is the cornerstone, that foundation, and he is building his people. And we know that in our own lives too. As our own lives, we often talk about them in terms of how we are trying to build our life, what we're trying to build our life on. Again, Jesus used the parable, how are you building your life? Are you building it on the rock, the foundation that is the Word of God, that is Jesus Christ? Or are you building it on the shifting sands? And Jesus turns this picture of building and what we're putting our confidence in as we build into one to encourage us to look to the Lord God, the builder, as we find him in the person of Jesus. And so what great blessing this morning, isn't it? What marvellous comfort it is, whether it's our physical dwelling places or more so our lives that we're trying to build and all that goes on in my messy life and your messy life, that we know that God is the builder. We can try all we want to have our plans in place, to safeguard our future, to do what we can. But ultimately, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain. So it may not be the traditional American dream that we're chasing after, but don't we have our own versions of that in Ireland? We see it played out as many of us and our colleagues around us, neighbours around us, do different things to try and curate our futures. Certainly, I waited until over 30 years old to marry, and longer and longer people are waiting in our culture for that, trying to have a stability in a career first, or maybe trying to wait for the perfect partner to come along first. Lots of different things we do to try and make sure we're building what we think might be a secure life or way about it. But we're reminded here, for all things, that God is the builder. I chuckled, I don't know whether you get Seth Lewis's updates that he sends through about Carrigtwohill, the church. With great joy, I got the one yesterday that he sent by email, maybe you guys knew beforehand, of the building sale going through and them getting that building at the very centre of Carrigtwohill. And what joy, what waiting, that they have waited and waited and waited. And Seth, in his update before this one, had used this verse, Psalm 127, verse 1, but no doubt with a twinkle in his eye as he did so, that they tried everything possible to do the best for God's kingdom too, to have a building in place, and yet he knew what it was to trust and to wait on God, and now they've seen answer to prayer, and what joy as we celebrate with them today, as they rejoice in physical buildings and things like that. What a joy in our lives to meet the kingdom builder, God, the primary one who is doing his kingdom work. How freeing it is for us in Morocco, and also for you as you partner with us in that work, and here in Middleton, to know the great joys. And then secondly, what other thing is at the top of this psalm? It's a song of ascents. A song of ascents. It's a funny thing to put at the top of a psalm, a song. Ascents being going up. And it's partly because it's thought that Jerusalem is on a hill. And every year the Jewish people would go up for the religious festivals from all over the country. And they go on mad travels, quite often by foot or by donkey or by animal, and trek some serious journeys on some pretty unsafe roads to get up for the big festivals. But not only did God command the festivals and put them in place, what joy it is, what festival-like atmosphere it is to join with all the other followers of God, worshipping and singing together and being together for these Jewish festivals. And I don't know whether you've been to a festival, Christian or otherwise, and just been in a tent of people or in a big field of people all belting out the same anthems together. What an amazing buzz that is. And these songs of ascents were thought to be some songs even for the road as you go up to the festival. As people converge in on the festivals of Ireland, no doubt they're playing the same songs on the radio. They're looking forward to their favourite ones being played by their favourite artist. I'm sure there were these songs of the time that God's people would have known for his festivals. And people would have been going up the road, road like the one that the Good Samaritan found that man at the side of the road, beaten and robbed by the gangs that would maybe wait on treacherous parts of the road or at night time as people had to sleep. Or as people tired from long days of journeying up to Jerusalem were going very vulnerable and in a weak position. And yet they would sing these words. Verse 2 there, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stand guard in vain. Jerusalem was a city with walls, huge walls, huge majestic gates to it. And on the top of those walls would be guards and watchmen watching day and night on shift over to see whether enemy, to see if danger was coming, to see who was coming in and out of the city, to stop anything untoward happening. Even as the travellers travelling, journeying days up to Jerusalem would be walking up these treacherous roads, and even as they turned those final bends and up on the hill ahead of them, they would see the majestic city of Jerusalem, safety, those walls, secure foundations, and those watchmen seeing if there were any robbers or gangs or anything else, and keeping a watch out, opening the gates for those who should be coming in. And you'd be so relieved once you got to that place on the journey. You'd think, those walls, they will protect us. Those watchmen, phew, relief. We can sleep at night because of it. But no, what is the psalmist reminding us of this morning for you and for I? Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen, even the watchmen on the big walls, stand guard in vain. Wasn't it true for Israel back in the day? Several times when they wandered from God, several times when they forsook God and his law and the ways of the Creator, how God had said it would go well for them if they followed him and if they enjoyed him, if they were his people and he was their God. Even when the people grumbled and thought they knew better, went other ways, and God let enemies attack. God let enemies even at times come and take the people from their secure fortress, they thought, of Jerusalem, to ravish that city, to destroy it, to knock down the walls. And even Jerusalem, the watchmen could not stop. If they forsook God, if God was not watching over his people, nothing would make them secure. And so even if the people turned and tried to anxiously fight back or toil hard to produce fruitful crops or prosper, no use. Forever they would be worried until they found the true watcher over them, the Lord who had a future for his people. And now, just like God doesn't dwell in physical temples anymore, physical places like that primarily, our enemy is not a physical nation on our doorstep about to attack a walled city. We're not trying to defend a nation or a place primarily anymore. The attacks that the New Testament tells us of, that Jesus speaks of, are the attacks of the devil, the evil one, that of the world around us that is living to a different drumbeat, to a different festival music, that of our hearts, your heart and mine, if yours is anything like mine, that constantly forgets the spiritual realities that we've been singing about and reading about so far, and instead turns aside to try and guard my life, to keep it secure, to build my own way in life. And what happens when both our country people and me or you turn to try and take things into our own hands? Well, the more we trust in ourselves, the more we'll find that it's just restless toil. Maybe physical sleep can be affected, but even in our mental well-being and struggles in life, don't we feel it on our hearts and our minds? There's certainly been plenty of times in this last year, even supposedly doing God's work in Morocco, where we tried to take either language learning or culture learning or everything we were doing out there into our own hands. We'd go to sleep stressed in the evening. We would wake up just worried or just trying to do our utmost to learn language, to speak to people about Jesus, to do everything like that. Yet we had to remind ourselves of the words of this psalm, that it is God who graciously gives sleep to those he loves. We don't need to, just in restless toil, put stress onto our own shoulders, things that God says he will do, and instead we try and do it. We don't need to constantly just rise early, stay up late for our own building, for our own guarding our lives, for our own trying to make ends meet and get by. And what a joy it is to come to a God who tells us this. What a joy it is to come to a Lord Jesus who says that his burden is not a heavy one to bear. That his kingdom is not a restless, driven, you must be better, you must be more, you must build the kingdom yourself here in Middleton. No, God is that builder. He is the one who we turn to trust. He is on the throne and no one will remove him off the throne. If humanly speaking, Neus and I don't see much fruit with our own hands or words in Morocco, that is okay if we remain faithful to him in our speaking of him and living for him. For he will build his kingdom and nothing will stop that. And the same true for yourselves here, and the same true for each of our lives here, isn't it? What blessing this good news would be for our neighbours too. Just this week, as we moved into a new apartment in Dublin, new just because it's new to myself and Naeus, not because it's a new apartment per se, but as we started to chat to some of our neighbours, again, just the fears in hearts, the restlessness and the discontent in many ways, underbedding so much of life. And now I don't mean this morning that for those of you maybe with a newborn and you're sleep deprived, that there's anything wrong with getting up early or having to stay up late in the middle of the night. Of course not. Sometimes those seasons are needed. We trust in God for those seasons. We can show our trust in God by working hard, both as our physical work and in our families and other things. So of course, the Bible's opposite of restless toil, of sleeplessness, is not sloth, it's not just sitting back doing nothing. The Bible's opposite of that is working hard under the Lordship of Jesus, under his yoke, which is an easy one. His yoke that brings life, as you've been finding out from John's Gospel, that even as we die to ourselves, that life comes in abundance in the Lord Jesus. How amazing it is to live under a king like that. No king like any other. And thirdly and finally, just briefly, God, we've seen God builds, we've seen God protects and God watches. And what good news those have been. Finally, the second half, and a little bit harder for, well, certainly I find it a bit harder for me to understand. And in fact, when I went to Morocco, I started to understand the second half slightly more. Lots of talk about families and big families being good and God blessing people who have big families and lots of children and them being a reward. And I don't know about you, but I found those words quite jarring if your life is like mine. In Naeus' side of the family, one of her relatives living in Dublin, very close to us, has just given birth and then the kids died, 24 weeks old, and died the next day in their arms. Similarly, on my side of the family, I have an immediate family member who found out years ago that she could never have children. Both of these people, passionate Jesus followers, and both of them absolutely broken and asking questions. God, what is it? Reading verses like this and thinking, well, it doesn't seem to be true, does it? But remember, songs like this written primarily, firstly, to the people of the day before we can start taking direct applications to us, to Middleton, to 2026. And back in the day, God had his people, a physical people. And back in the Old Covenant, the way that God operated with his people, it very much was about the physical nation, the physical people. If you had a family and if you gave birth, it was a real blessing because God's people were growing. Yes, people from outside nations could come and follow God, but God wanted his kingdom to grow through families and through his people growing. And so some element of this is the Old Covenant of God growing his kingdom through physical families. Some element of this is also something that we find in Morocco. In Morocco, when there isn't social security payments, where there isn't an HSE and any sense of cheap healthcare or any form of child benefit or anything like a pension system for most of the population, your family are your literal lifeblood. If you have family, it will go well for you. You'll have someone to look after you in old age, and you'll have someone to work for you to bring in income. You'll have more hands. The more hands, the more labour, the more money you'll probably get in. Physically, that is the reality of much of the world. You have a family, it goes well for you. You don't have a family, it doesn't. All of our taxation systems and things like that, that are such a blessing for us in Ireland, that give more protection and security to those who may not be in the position to have family, or who for many other reasons are struggling financially or otherwise. So then coming back to these verses, and they started to make more sense for me, having been in Morocco, having understood a culture of the time, that then obviously, of course, children would be a real blessing. No doubt God is still the provider of children. God has provided for this church. What a blessing it is to share in that blessing as we disciple each other, as we seek to encourage those who have children in this fellowship and get to know them and point them to Jesus. But as Jesus speaks of his new covenant kingdom, Jesus also speaks far beyond physical families, doesn't he? In fact, physical families, we know ourselves, are no guarantee of spiritual fruit, of spiritually people who will follow Jesus and be baptized and join the church. Jesus speaks that he is the grower of his family. That he is the one who goes about that. And you or I, no matter what family we have, no matter whether you see your family still, no matter whether you live on the other side of the globe from your family, no matter whether you're single and would love to have had family, this is true, that Jesus grows his family through you, through me, through his people. And what a blessing, what good news today, no matter who we are and what we have faced in this world, what our experiences of physical family, God is the giver and grower of his family. God is the one, through what he has done on the cross, who has not only achieved individual salvation for those who put their trust in him and come to him for forgiveness of sins, who enjoy the richest blessing of his protection and being part of his building, his people, but who gets to be part of what he's doing in his family, who gets brothers and sisters, not just here in Middleton, not just here in Carrigtwohill, but your brothers and sisters today are meeting in Morocco, maybe meeting in secret, maybe meeting in fear, but your brothers and sisters in Christ, with those people who you are praying for and partnering with in the gospel as you pray with us. What a blessing to have a family that maybe you'll never meet. And we'd encourage you to come to Morocco, €20 flights, if you get the right ones, right time of year. So do come, do pop in on your holiday, great places we can point you to, and we'd love to see any number of you. But even more so, we could introduce you to some of your brothers and sisters in Christ and let you meet them and let you see what to be a follower of Christ in their lives is like. And so what a blessing. And we come to a God who builds, we come to a God who watches and who keeps us secure, and we come to a God who grows his family. How freeing this morning, folks, for you. And I pray this morning that as we read these words, as we come to Jesus, as we ask him our unresolved questions, that you would know that deep in your heart, in my heart, that we would feel the freedom of a God who does this in the face of Jesus by the power of his Spirit. What glorious realities, what glorious realities we have to hold out to this town around us as those new flats go up, as we pray for those who come to dwell in them. What great joy we can speak of, and we can model, and we can hold out in the words of life we've been given. So let's come and enjoy our God's.